The journey of recovery from drug or alcohol addiction looks different for everyone who undergoes it. The path to wholeness for those whose lives have been touched by addiction is always different. But for at least one group of Kansas Cityans, that road has been filled with writing. Poetry and prose that chronicle and process and maybe even transform the struggle. Next week, a group of those writers will take part in an annual reading of their work, and joining us today to talk about it is Carrie Allison Rowling. She started this annual event. She's an English teacher as well. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And also Susan Whitmore. She's Vice President of Development at First Call, which supports alcohol and drug prevention and recovery, but she also is a published poet and formerly a creative writing teacher at the Writer's Place, UMKC. Welcome to you, Susan.
Thank you.
Glad you're here. You guys have an event coming up next week, but before we talk about the event, I want to talk first about the idea. What does writing have to do with recovery from addiction or from the effects of addiction, Carrie?
Well, it started for me as a part of my recovery from my mother's addiction. I grew up with a mother who was an alcoholic her whole life, and so I went to writing as a form of therapy for myself because my mother sort of lived in shame of her addiction, so I wasn't really allowed to talk about it or ask for help. So I went to writing in order to get that off of my chest.
And so what form did that writing first take? Was it start writing in a journal or was it something else?
I did journal writing from a really young age, but I was also always interested in writing. It was just sort of my interest. I was a reader as a young child and a writer. So then it quickly took on the form of poetry for me.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how do you make the transition from that sort of very personal writing, for your own experience, for therapy, as you said, toward something that actually has an audience? How does that transition take place?
For me, I was lucky enough that I had some educators in my life who made that happen for me. And it was a tough transition, but I'm really glad I took it. I had an educator when I was in high school named Mary Frances Wagner, who is a published poet here in Kansas City. And she encouraged me to write for publication and helped me get over that fear of sharing it with others.
That's Carrie Allison Rowling. She started this event, Recovery Reading. Susan Whitmore, how widespread is what Carrie's talking about, the idea of using writing as a form of therapy for recovery?
Well, I think it's definitely the idea of writing as therapy for a lot of different things has been growing in the arts in general. The Writer's Place, for example, has a writing workshop for veterans that's coming up in 2015. It's called Writing Your Way Back Home. And high school students use writing for therapy and to overcome depression. I think that, people who are writers are going to be writing anyway, and it's just natural that they're going to use the material of their lives as a catalyst for writing. And the therapeutic process for me has just sort of come out of that. It's just what was there to write about, and it's been a way for me to express a lot of the joy that comes along with recovery also.
Yeah. How much of the writing is translating emotions to the page that are very specifically about the recovery or the experience of someone else's addiction? Or how much of it is just sort of finding something to do, writing fiction, crafting something that has nothing to do with one's own experience?
Well, I think, basically it's about communication. And the neat thing about substance use disorders, addiction, and recovery is that the whole paradigm is shifting in terms of how we communicate about it. And so one of the most therapeutic pieces about having this as a subject matter for a poem or a story or an essay is that it breaks silence around what the experience is like for people who have grown up in alcoholic or drug-affected families. And it breaks silence for people who have struggled with an addiction themselves so that other people who need help maybe hear the message, get the news that, treatment works and a life in recovery is a wonderful thing. And, it's a way of breaking silence. I think that's why everyone writes.
I wonder how much writing we hear all the time, poetry or fiction or literature that in fact did grow out of an experience of struggling with addiction or recovering from addiction.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like I think anyone who's been through the process of having to come to terms with an addiction, it's like facing a dark night of the soul. And we know for a fact that some people don't make it through. A lot of times that's because of the shame that Carrie talked about that surrounds it. But that has really been transformed because we know a lot more about addiction from a clinical perspective. We know that it's a disease. We know it's not a moral issue. And the world is sort of catching up with that fact. And so there's more and more information out there in art, I think, that addresses it directly.
The event that's coming up is called the Recovery Reading. It's next Friday, a week from today, September 5th at 7 p.m. at the Writer's Place. That's at corner of Valentine and Pennsylvania in Kansas City, Missouri. We're talking today with a couple of the folks very involved in that project, Carrie Allison Rowling and Susan Whitmore. We'd love for you to join the conversation. If you have struggled with addiction and have found solace or healing or recovery of your own through writing, give us a call at 816-235-2888, 235-2888. Maybe your life has been touched by addiction and writing provided you an outlet, a way of processing or sharing that experience. 816-235-2888. You can also email us at uptodate@kcur.org. Both of you have written poetry and have graciously agreed to share a little of that with us today. Carrie, Allison Rowling, I wonder if you might tell us what you're going to share and then provide us with a reading.
Sure. I'm actually going to start with a kind of new one. When I was younger, most of my poetry was about my living situation because I couldn't get out of the house and get away from the situation I was in. And so a lot of the tone was kind of bitter. But through the acts like the recovery reading, I'm able to come to a place of less bitterness and more empathy with my mother. So I particularly wanted to share this new one because I'm starting to see that growth in my own work, that I'm able to stop just telling the story and start handling how I feel about her. So this poem is called Mozart in the Morning. I often awoke in darkness to the sounds of my mother's wailing at shadowy shapes. She called me into her room, pointed at dark men peering in her curtains. Looking past me, she spoke in a cacophony of consonants, a language only she knew. Some nights I held her, the dark smell of the bar lingering in her hair. Other nights I rolled under my pillow, curling into the sound of her sobs. Or I shouted, throwing shoes at the wall between our beds. One early morning I turned on Mozart's 29th. By the end of the first movement, she quieted. Within the sonatas, each piece of her chaos settled onto a note. Each fear plucked out of the tangle pinned itself to the bar like a dishcloth hanging tidy on the line. Each of her memories, if only for a measure, quietly in its place.
That's Carrie Allison Rowling reading one of her poems, Mozart in the Morning. Thanks for reading that, Carrie. I wonder, how hard is it for you to share publicly these very personal, very private experiences?
At first, it was very hard when I was young. My teacher had to really encourage me and help me through it. But these days, I find it very cathartic. I find it very enjoyable to feel that I'm sharing my mother's story for her because she could never do it. She was always too ashamed of her addiction to handle it and to deal with it. The idea of even speaking to a therapist was too shameful for her. So in a way, it almost feels like I'm doing that work for her.
I wonder, you work, Susan, with an organization that deals with folks who are struggling with addiction, mm-hmm. or families of those. And I guess I wonder, where is the line between sort of processing these things in a way that is healing and therapeutic and, I don't know, to use a crass expression, sort of mm-hmm. airing one's dirty laundry or just sort of just saying things without actually using it as a way of healing? Does that make sense?
You mean just saying things for shock effect?
Sure. I mean, what is there a healthy way to do this and an unhealthy way to do this?
Well, I think that that's a very personal thing for each individual. The one thing that I know at First Call that we recommend is that families and individuals who are in crisis around these issues do get professional help. We have a crisis call line, for example, 816-361-5900, which people don't have to be in crisis to call it, but you can take a proactive step to get some professional help to find out what the next steps might be for yourself. And, you know, working with professionals, I think that's where people really know what kind of therapeutic process is best for them. The writing piece when it comes to journaling and is very common in all therapies. And I think that it's one step after that when you share it publicly. That's something that people have to decide on their own as they move forward and feel safer in the world.
We will post, by the way, links to First Call and to that number for our listeners. That'll be at our website, kcur.org. We'll also post some of the samples of the poetry that you're hearing today and maybe some of the others by our guests. Carrie Allison Rowling, let me ask you about the event that you helped start, this recovery reading next week. How did it get started?
Well, for me, I thought I came up with a fairly original idea back in 2011. I was part of the programming committee at the Writer's Place. The Writer's Place was a huge part of my life growing up, and I spent time there in writing workshops as a teenager. So I later gave back by joining the programming committee. So I thought I had an original idea, but it turns out that Phil Miller, the late Phil Miller, Kansas City poet and writer who recently passed away, had actually started that reading many, many years ago. And Phil Miller had been integral in my own writing life and had been a sort of a mentor to me. And so I was happy to bring it back.
And so you brought it back 2011, you said. How does it work? How can anyone come and participate?
Absolutely. So we start out with featured readers. So readers like Susan and I, as well as others, will be there and reading our work. But then we open it up to an open mic at the end of the evening, and readers have 5 minutes to share any piece of work that they have that is related to the idea of recovery. They can be poetry or fiction, but it could be prose. It could be a journal piece. We've had people share dialogues. It can be any piece of work that would be helpful in the conversation about recovery.
Let me ask you, Susan, sort of more broadly, how remind those who don't know what the Writer's Place even is and how this sort of fits into the broader mission of that place.
Right. Well, the Writer's Place is it's the only arts organization in Kansas City that's solely devoted to celebration of the written word and writers and writing. And they have readings of local, regional, and national authors, but they also have a lot of workshops for people of all ages in all genres. And it's just a fabulous place.
And where can people get more information about either the Writer's Place or about this event?
It's thewritersplace.org, and their phone number is 816. Let's see.
Yeah, normally a person doesn't have to know these things off the top of their head. We'll tell you what, we'll post that online at kcur.org. Let's take a call. Speaking of phone numbers, 816-235-2888 is ours. Jim is calling us from Lawrence. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, sir.
I understand you've you're making an effort now to process recovery from addiction with writing. Tell us about that, briefly.
Well, okay. I'm a cartoonist, and I do probably since '97 I've been working on cartoons and comics about my own personal experiences. And you know, I do it autobiographical, but I also change the names of people and places and things.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I wished I had it done, but
sure. And how does that work? Whether in your case a graphic novel, but in other cases, you know, people write poetry or prose. How does that affect you as you sort of recover or struggle with the thoughts about your addiction?
Well, it helps a lot to write. I'm also a singer-songwriter, so I do it through that as well. And no, it helps a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. It's like a journal. What?
You know, go ahead. No, yeah, it's like a journal, but one that you share with the public.
Right. And I'm just, you know, I'm kind of ashamed, as she said, that it's taking so long. I guess I worked all my life at the railroad, and then when I got in recovery, eventually I went back to school. I'd flunked out, and I was so on fire. I got a master's degree in social work. And the thing of it is I've been trying to catch up with my life all that time, I think.
Well, Jim, I really appreciate your willingness to share a little of that story with us. Thanks so much for calling. Before we go, I want to give Susan Whitmore a chance to share a little bit of her work that she'll be either that she'll be sharing or maybe she has shared before at this event.
Okay. I thought I would read this one. It's called Sugar Plum Fairy, and it partly because it's interesting sitting here with Carrie, because I'm a mother of two children who was alcoholic, now in recovery, and she is the child of an alcoholic. And, you know, we're all aware that many, many children, one in four children are affected. Anyway, Sugar Plum Fairy. Melinda orders evening around gold in the glass, silver light in the mirror, a bit of funk on the tongue, thighs tingling. You'll be the one to save me, she sings, dreaming the next guy down the pike in a whirlwind of wheels, grinding gears. The heart is a cluster of purple grapes, each fruit with its own penchant for life and dramatic taste, small and bitter as the last curve of moon, or so sun-filled juice drips from skin, succulent abandon. The starlit sky is a conflagration of wishes, kicking in waves until tide pulls her under into oblivion, a green that forgets itself. Melinda's mother calls from childhood, "Girl, where are your satin slippers? Where are your slippers, your tiara, and what's this stain on your sequin tutu? Where were you when the audience was looking, your place in the dance abandoned among the other girls?" 30 years later, Melinda's found home in the arms of a nebulous love that plucks stars from sky until everything's dark, all doors in the house locked and closed. She's the disappearing girl, face with no face, at your window, singing, "Wake up, save me." But no one comes. The mother sleeps secure in her curls. The sugar plum fairies will dance without her, six golden sips from cut crystal.
That's Susan Whitmore reading her poem, Sugar Plum Fairy. Susan Whitmore is Vice President of Development at First Call. Carrie Allison Rowling is one of the founders of this annual event, the Recovery Reading, which is next Friday, a week from today at 7 o'clock at the Writer's Place at 3607 Pennsylvania. You can find more at their website, writersplace.org, or at our website, kcur.org. Susan and Carrie, thank you both so much for being here today.
Our pleasure.
Thanks.